All right. So who wants to be a big kid? Who wants to be able to do, well, who wants to do all the things that all the grown-ups get to do? Well, some of you do. Who wants to have the power and the ability to do the things the grown-ups do that you want to do? Right. Well, what we're going to talk about today is that God builds us in small things. And today is going to be a day of small things. We have no epic message today. We are not going to have one of these great big messages that Pastor Bruce gives us all the time, because I'm up here. We got to do small things. And the fact of the matter is that that's how God works in our lives, by little steps, right? Like when Hazel was starting to walk, right? She first crawled, and then she stood up, and then she took one step at a time. And that's how we grow in everything that we do in our life. And now, that's a truth that I think you guys can understand, right? Get that? No. Well, now I'm going to spend the next, you don't get that? Well, now I'm going to spend the next amount of time working that message to all the big people, but because they're big people, and we got all sorts of other things going on in our mind, it takes a lot more words than that to understand that God works through us in small ways. And God is calling you to do something today. And I don't know what that is. Is that volunteering to do the dishes for mom when you get home today? That's awesome. Is it cleaning up your room before mom tells you to clean it up?
No.
I don't know what God is working on in your heart. But I bet you there's something, there's one little step that he's working on your heart today. And I pray that you're able to walk with the Lord and do that. All right. I have something. Good, we got something. So everybody come up and grab one.
My brother.
Let's see. Oops. There we go. Everybody get one?
Yeah,
all right.
One.
All right, excellent. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you and your Spirit just surround me as I speak today, Lord. I just pray that none of the words that come out of me are mine, but your words, Lord. And Lord, I pray that that of all of us in here, including me, we have something that you want to say to us. And we pray that our hearts are softened and opened, and that we hear your call, and that we're able to take a step walking with you, where you are drawing us into a big thing that you have for us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God. I just wanted to say that. We're starting there. If you don't know anything else, I said that today. That's a truth. And we can walk with that. But I do want to start with a question. Have any of you been frustrated, disillusioned by the pace that God is working in a goal that you have in your life, or someplace that you want to go? Even a calling, a real calling that God is taking you, but it's taking too long. I think a lot of us get impatient with God, and it may be the number one reason why we take things into our own hands and we try to skirt around and try to do things for ourselves that we really need to wait on God to do with us, right? And I just wonder how many times I have bypassed God, walked right past, right around something God had for me to do because of my impatience and because my mind was not set on Him and wasn't focused on Him. So, moment of honesty. How many times has anyone been in this situation where maybe late at night, maybe early in the morning, and you're at a traffic light, and there's nobody around, and it's red? You look left, you look right, there is nobody around. This also happens like during a Packers game, right? And you're stuck at this red light and it's taking forever and you're like, man, there's nobody around. Don't you just want to go right through? See, I think red lights ought to be optional. If there's nobody there, you can still go. Stop, look left, right, and keep going. All right? But how many times in our lives have we run that red light because God had something for us at that red light, but we weren't looking for it, and we didn't see it. We walked right past by it. And God just isn't getting it done. See, I think life would be so much better if God would work on my time frame. Wouldn't it be always great if all our desires were filled on our timetable? You know, I get a sniffle. God, take away this cold now. God forbid you're dealing with a much more difficult problem. Ron with his legs, you know, God, just take that away and do it right now. Wouldn't it be so much better this way? The Zechariah passage I found, let me give you some context around that. Remember a couple of years ago we worked with Oxano and we came up with a couple of themes, and one of them's in our bulletin, and it's turning the disillusioned into passionate builders. And a lot of times we're disillusioned because things take so long. We don't see where God is working in our life. And also, everyone has a call, everyone has a place on the wall. Well, sometime later, they got the wall built, and they turned their focus on the temple. And they started to work on the temple, and 20 years go by, and really not a whole lot has happened. And so God's people were getting frustrated. And part of the frustration is they've been in captivity for a long time. They're under the rule of the Persians. Babylonians have had them. Now Persia's got them. And the temple was where God lived in the presence of the Jews. And the temple wasn't getting done. In fact, 20 years later, what did they have? They had the capstone, the cornerstone, the top stone. Depends on what version of, not version, but translation of the Bible. And there's a lot of work that needed to be done to build that temple, and I think a lot of people were just not so crazy about that process, about those simple steps. Remember, you know, everybody's got a call, everybody's got a place on the wall. How do you build the wall? One stone at a time, one step at a time. And, you know, I think about the times when, you know, I'm not building a temple, but I'm remodeling a room, right? And see, there's a process that has to take place. You got to plan for it, right? But then you got to do a little bit of demolition. And then, and by the way, in my case, I'm doing the work, so I'm going to work and have kids and all those other responsibilities. And so time goes on, and then my wife is like, hey, when's the kitchen going to get done? Because things aren't the way I want them to be. I want them now. She wants to be, you know, genie bewitched, you know, whatever, just get it done. Just get it done. Do I need to call somebody? Do I need to call somebody to get this done? Because they're not patient enough to do that. By the way, ladies, if you ever say that to your husband that is doing some work, that hurts. Cuts him right to the heart. That's yanking on his man card. That's a tough thing. But you know, I said in the beginning, God, here's a true statement. What God is doing, did God need anybody's help to build that temple? No, because in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and in 6 days, he spoke everything into existence. That is our God. Doesn't need our help to do anything. Does he need our help to remodel a kitchen? Does he need our help to do anything? No, but God moves in small ways because we're not big enough or strong enough. We can't handle the big things, right? God moves moves from small things to big things, not just to have big things, but to bring us along so that we are growing in that process in whatever the big thing is that he is working on. And sometimes we don't even know. And in him that we have obedience, we can just see a little bit of his power in what he's working in our lives. If everything God does with us was just the big finish, there wouldn't be any little small changes in us. If everything we sought for, boom, it was there. You know, success, bam, you know. You turn 18 or 20, you just graduate from college, and next thing you know, you're CEO of the business, or you're the whatever, you know, you're chief nurse, or you're whatever the case may be, whatever your goal is in your life. If it happened, you were there. Whether it's success or if it's affluence, fame, competitiveness, champions. Imagine if God gave you all your dreams and he wrote the last page of your life first and you just stepped right into it. Seems kind of weird, doesn't it? I have a suspicion. No, it's not a suspicion. I know this for certain, that if God gave me, by the way, just a side note, everything that I'm saying is for me first, because I need this message more than anyone here. So if I'm saying you, please, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at us. But if God gave us everything that he intends to bring in our life immediately, we just wouldn't be capable of receiving it. And how do I know this? How do we know this? How many times have we seen someone get something too big for them and it led to their own destruction? I think of lottery winners right away, right? How many billions of dollars do Americans spend on lottery tickets every year? That's not just Americans, it's a worldwide phenomenon. And people are rewarded with, win, however you want to say it, gobs of cash. You know, hundreds of million dollars the Powerball gets up to before somebody wins at these. You know, it won't be long that we'll see a billion-dollar winner. Unfortunately, 70% of lottery winners go bankrupt within just a few years of winning all that money. See, the little things that they needed to learn about managing their life, managing their finances, managing their household, they never learned, and so when they got that big thing, it destroyed them. We're just not capable of the big thing unless God brings us along. And we always want God to do the big things, but we don't want to go through the process, right? So earning money is a lot of work, right? You got to get up early in the morning. You got to study. You know, people go to school for a long time, and you have to take risk. You have to put yourself out there. You have to sometimes put in a lot of hours. And for some people, it comes easier than others. But there's a process that God is working on through us as we go through our careers, as we go through our lives, whatever that vocation is, whatever that is, whether it's a volunteer thing. And we grow and we become better by going through the process. I'm going to reread our verse today from Zechariah. Tom read it out of the NIV, I believe. I'm reading it out of the ESV, so it's very similar, a little bit different. And then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was in charge of making sure that temple was built. He said, "Not by power, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." Sounds like that verse, the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain, right? It's right here, God is saying that. "And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Tom said, "Bless it, bless it, bless it." And I've heard some other ones too, that it's I meant to, and I just never got around to doing it. I meant to go back and look at that Hebrew word, because that's got to be an interesting Hebrew word, because I saw like four or five different words that we use in English to match that word in Hebrew. I go on. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house, and his hand shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, for whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice. That's why today is the day of small things. And shall see the plumb line, the tools, in the hands of Zerubbabel. Today we are not going to despise the small things, those things that we don't want to do to get to the big things. We are going to cherish those things. We are going to honor those things. Today is the day that we celebrate those small things. And in this day of small things, we are going to pay attention to them. What are those small things that we are looking past and that we're doing in life so that we can do bigger things, that we can be prepared to be more for God? Because through small things become big things. As we talked about before, we got to go small before we can go big, because if we go big before we go small, it all falls apart. We can't receive what God has for us. There's a book out. Has anybody heard of this this professor from Canada, Jordan Peterson? Some people have. He's gotten in a lot of trouble because a couple of years ago, and this is when I first heard of him, he got in trouble because he refused to be ordered by the state of Canada to use these new gender pronouns that are non-binary, non-male, non-female, like G and Z, and whatever somebody wants. So if a student in his class who's clearly a female says, you need to address me as he is required then to call her he, and he says, no, I'm not doing that. So anyway, don't want to get into him so far, but he's written a book, and it's called 12 Things, 12 Rules for Life that Eliminate the Chaos, and here are some of them. Most of these things are really small things. Sit up straight and with your shoulders back. Treat yourself like someone who you are responsible for helping. Treat yourself like someone that you are responsible for helping. See, a lot of times, we don't want to help ourselves. A lot of times, you know, we know ourselves better than anyone else, and we know where our failures are, we know where we've fallen short, and we're embarrassed by ourselves, and in our deepest, most dark thoughts, it's difficult to even help ourselves sometimes. Make friends with people who want the best for you. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday and not to someone else, who someone else is today. And that's the one I wanted to point at, because these are truths of the small things. If I go walking around and start comparing myself to Bill Gates, so many ways I'm going to fall short, because he's accomplished so much, and that's awesome. But really, it doesn't matter if it's Bill Gates or if it's any one of you. If I'm comparing myself to you, I'm not comparing myself to where I came from yesterday. And that's that small step that we each need to take. And guess what? Sometimes in the process, things don't go the way we expect them to, right? We take those small steps, and we take those small steps in faith. God has taken us, and God is still working on us through the process. I think of the Stensons in the back right now. I think, you know, a year ago, we were getting ready to send them off to Latvia, right? And he stood up here, and he talked about that, and we're excited for him. And here he's in the back row again, because God had different plans for him. And has he grown through this process? Yeah. Has he been blessed through the process? Yeah. Has there been trial in the process? Yes. But he and Becky and family are better. They have a bigger thing today than they had a year ago because they went through the process. And it wasn't their vision. It was what God's vision is for them. And too often I find myself in a spot where God has given me a vision, has given me a direction, but it's a big thing. And I look at it and I'm like, oh man, I can't do that because it's too big. And the steps are overwhelming. And I don't act. And so then a year later, the vision's still there, maybe faded a little bit, but I haven't taken any steps. And it's the ones who start with the day of the small things in pursuit of that vision that God has given you and that call that God has given you in your life. It's those that take that first small step are the ones that know that God does big things with small beginnings. Every big thing that has been accomplished. When, you know, we've just remembered Billy Graham, who died. And he had really small beginnings. Speaking to whoever would come, some of the crowds that came to his first evangelistic meetings at some churches were a handful of people. And a handful of people, and a handful of people, and then two hands full of people, and four hands full of people, and then stadiums full of people around the world. There is hardly a person in my generation who has not been touched by the preaching of Billy Graham. Even those that haven't turned to him have been touched and heard Billy Graham, maybe respect Billy Graham. Maybe their heart was softened just a little bit by Billy Graham, and the Lord was able to work on them and bring them to him through time. Big things happen through small things. This just popped in my head. I didn't even write it down, but one of my favorite movies that my wife hates is this movie, What About Bob? Does anybody remember that movie? What About Bill Murray, about 20 years ago, with his goldfish, Gil, you know, good morning, Gil. I said, good morning, Gil. Anyway, I love that. I love that movie. But Bob had a problem, right? He had this anxiety problem. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't do anything. He was absolutely frozen in life because of fear and anxiety. He could not do anything. So he was introduced to a counselor. Richard Dreyfuss, is that right? Anyway, and his recommendation was baby steps. Bob, you got to take baby steps. And so Bob took it literally. So he's walking around taking baby steps. But we saw, and it's a comedy, but we saw how Bob was able to grow and come out of his shell by taking those baby steps. God does great things with small beginnings. The story that I did have in this spot was my family's not here today. Because they're traveling back from Cincinnati. They were just at a speech and debate tournament, and many of you know that they're really involved. Our family is really involved in that, and the kids have grown up in that. And I remember the small beginnings. I remember first of all that first time when Elizabeth Buckmeyer grabbed us by the arm and said, "You have to get the boys into this." And we're like, "Yeah, but it's a lot of work." I mean, it's a lot of work and a lot of commitment, and a lot of dedication. It was a huge thing, and we've stepped into it, and we've been blessed by it. But I also remember also going to one of those first practice tournaments and seeing the older kids speak in phenomenal ways, give an apologetic speech with just a few minutes preparation that brought me to tears. Better preaching than I'm doing today. Better preaching than most of the preaching that I've heard in my life, except for Bruce. Done by these teenagers. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, my kids can't do that. I can't even imagine my kids competing. But they took that small step. And a lot of other small steps, and work really hard, and they compete. What's taken so long? What in your life is taking so long and it's longer than you thought. What are those things? What is that nagging thing that's in your life that's taking longer than you thought? When I think of that, there's two questions I think of. It's like, traveling with kids, right? Are we there yet? Because the kids are always asking, are we there yet? I mean, we're still in the driveway, and they're asking, are we there yet? No, there's the house, okay? We're not there yet. Where's the bathroom, right? Back up the car, back in the driveway. Okay, go to the bathroom first. And also, when are we going to eat, right? Those are the two universal questions when we're really impatient. Are we there yet? When are we going to eat? And I cook a lot. I'm not a great time estimator. And some of the things that I cook, I like cook big. I like cooking Thanksgiving meal. I like cooking things that take a long time. I was doing a brisket once, and you know the preparation starts, you know, a day or two ahead of time. You got to brine it. You got to do all the work, and then you know, 24 hours beforehand, you put it in the smoker at a really low low temperature to really get that smoke into it real nice, and then you keep it at a low temperature. But you got a lot of steps in the process, and then, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon comes on the day that we're going to have the brisket, and my wife says, "When's it going to be ready?" Like she's ready. She wants it to be ready. And I'm like, I don't know. It's not at the temperature yet. Well, when's it going to be ready? I don't know. The probe in there will tell me when it's exactly 220 degrees, and then we have to let it rest for another at least 30 minutes so those juices reabsorb, because we don't want to cut into it too soon because we'll wreck it. But I want to eat right now. I don't want to go through the steps. I don't want to wait. I don't want to have those impatient time. So often things that we want and even need take longer than we expect, and we think God should work more instantly in our life. But God says that we need to wait on Him to do what we need God to do in us, because really that's where the work is being done, is inside us. And do you ask for God's help in everything? See, a lot of times I just go through life and, you know, I find myself asking for God for the big things. And I thank Him for the things that He, you know, gives me. Life this morning, good breakfast, health. But we think there's things that we can do for ourselves, right? We, you know, God doesn't have to help me wake up in the morning. But the fact of the matter is that without God, there's nothing that we can do. Without Him providing us with what He has provided us, without the gifts of God, there's nothing that we can do. Even the small things we need to do in our lives don't happen without God. So what's in your life? What's in my life where the flesh, the world, the devil has control of? They are powerful no matter how small. You need God's help, and we can't break free without God's Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by the Holy Spirit. What is a small change that needs to change your life? Everything great starts with a small thing. Remember the mustard seed? It's a mustard seed. It's really little, right? Grows into a big plant where provide shelter for birds, and you know, things start small. It was kind of funny. John and I were talking about singing, and you know, every singer that can sing started off not being able to sing. Now there's some unique gifts that I don't have where you can actually hear a tone and you can train yourself to be a good singer. But I can say at one time I was as good a singer as the kids that can't sing, right? The best singers were kids that can't sing, and I was as good as them at one point in time. Now I just make a joyful noise. But every book starts with a word, right? One step, one word. Every song starts with a note. Every film starts with an image. Every great painting starts with a stroke of a brush. They start with small things, take steps. And it's hard to get. We just don't get it, right? We don't always get it that that's how God works. He works through the small things. Proverbs and James speak endlessly, and the verse that we talked about earlier, too, about our thoughts and our words, the really small things, right? The thoughts and the words. Thoughts and words become actions, and they become solidified in our hearts. They take root, and they turn into big things. So God works in small things, but you know what? The devil, the world, and the flesh, they work in those small things, too, and turn things into big things. Pay attention to the small things. Again, I ask, what is the small thing in your life? And what is the big thing that's in that small thing? God said in verse 7 of Zechariah chapter 4, "Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain." A mountain, you're nothing. Because through, not by power, not by might, but through the Holy Spirit, those mountains that were in place that kept the temple from being built for those 20 years where nothing had been done other than the cornerstone was laid down, those mountains, whatever they were, and there was, you know, pressure from outside groups and people were trying to take the money away and distractions and all those things in the life, in the big thing that you're working on in your life, what are those mountains that are in place? It's not by your power, not by your might, but by the Holy Spirit that you can lay those mountains down flat. Make them to be a plain. You know, we talk about that mustard seed, and a lot of times, I don't know if we've actually got the, or at least I have, the message in that passage right. Oh, if you only had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. But let's look at it the other way, and even with a little faith, you can move mountains. See, I really don't think it's how much faith we have. We've got the faith already, but are we taking those small steps? Are we walking in the power of the Holy Spirit to move those mountains in your life? Oh, God, I need more faith. Yeah, I need more faith, but I don't think we need more faith to do the things that God has for us to do if we take those small steps. God has big things for each and every one of us. But they're not always the things that others can see. But they're big enough that you cannot deny the fact that God has done a work inside of you, right? There's a lot of things. Some of the biggest things that God has done in my life are things that have happened inside of me that few people around me even know. You want a beautiful life? We all want a beautiful life, right? We don't only want to be loved, but we want to be lovely. I think C.S. Lewis said that. Stop trying to build a life that you think you can build on your own and build a life that can only be built by trusting God. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. And as broken as I am a far cry from where I came from. But there are people all around us, inside our close circles and outside our close circles, who will be pointing arrows at us. And it's the world, it's the brokenness of our world. And they will continue to try to beat us back and focus on those brokenness things and try to put it in your face. Looking at the failures, what have you not done? Don't be broken by that. Because you don't have to look at the end result in despair, wherever we are in our lives today, but you can grab a hold of that cornerstone, and declare that what you see is not what I see. What you see when you see me is not what I see, because I know where I came from, and I am not finished yet. I am a temple of God, and I am not finished yet. He has not done with me yet. I am a dream in the mind of the Almighty God, and I am the cornerstone on which God is building something bigger, something greater. And each and every one of you are in that same spot. I don't know what the great thing God is building on you, the cornerstone of that big thing, but He is building something on you. And in some cases, we won't even know what that was until we look back from heaven onto our life and see all the lives that we have touched. I was amazed. I remember, again, another story. I remember when my grandfather passed in Texas, just a small Texas rancher. Went to the Lutheran church down in the Baptist Bible Belt, right? So it was only, it was a small church, about half of what ours was, but a faithful man. And I didn't know until I went to his funeral back in 2004. But there were a lot of men there, and there were men of all ages. There were men that were much older than I was, older than my parents were, and then there were young men too. And they were all there because my grandfather had touched their life. A lot of them had been in trouble when they were younger. And my grandfather sought out to be a father figure to them. I didn't even know this. I didn't know that he had taken those steps. My grandfather changed the lives of a lot of individuals. And he probably changed the course of a lot of communities in that community. Because those lives were changed. Little steps that make, that turn into something much, much bigger than we can even imagine. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. And if we didn't notice it the first time, Zerubbabel's hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. God is building that temple, but He is building it with the hands of Zerubbabel because God is bringing Zerubbabel along in that process. So that you will know that the Lord of hosts was there, right? We're completing the circle. You see the circle of power, not by power, but might, not by power, not by might, but by the Holy Spirit. We start there, and God is putting in our hands steps that we need to take for something bigger, whatever that vision is, whatever that thing is, that big thing is, and when that thing comes to pass, it points back to God so that all know that He was the one. So it's a circular thing, right? So we glorify God. To God be the glory. Amen. When God is working, it is evidenced by you and how we are working. What has God put in your hands? What has God entrusted you with? Take it and be faithful with what He has given you. And when you are faithful with what He has put in your hands, God uses it as proof that is not in your hands. It's kind of one of those profound statements that God likes doing. He is doing something bigger than you. And He is just using you. God is just using you, not because He's using you, because He loves to work with His people. And He's impacting us. I keep thinking about God who uses small things, but how you get good at something, you just do it, right? You start. Somebody wants to learn how to play the piano. What's the first step? You start, right? You take that first step. If you want to become a marathon runner, okay, maybe not a marathon runner. If you want to run a 5K, if you want to get a little in shape, right? You have to take that, first you got to start walking, right? My exercise life goes up and down. And when I haven't run for a while, that first time I go out, I get about a half a block and I got my hands on my knees and I'm heaving because I can't go any further. That's the small step. But the next day, I can go twice as far. And a week later, I can get a mile in. And it takes the small steps. But you have to start. For whoever despises the day of small things has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and see that the tools are in the hand of Zerubbabel. We put too much emphasis on the final product and we miss all that takes place to get there. And part of the beauty is the struggle in the process. We grow through the challenge, through the struggle. Every musician that plays beautifully has struggled in the small things. My daughter plays violin, and this year she started playing in the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, youth orchestra, and yeah, I'm amazed at how focused she is on working on the little things. You know, whether it's getting that finger in the exact right spot every time with the bow, and I don't get it. It's like foreign language when I'm watching her do this. It's amazing to me. But that focus and that dedication to the small thing, and practices don't always sound that great, okay? But when she's got the song put together and she plays, it is beautiful. And it is amazing. It's almost surreal, little girl playing. I was watching them play a couple weeks ago. They had a little concert, and I'm listening. I was like, wow, this is great. And I'm like, wow, it's my girl. It's really cool, doing big things through small steps. Once upon a time, Becky was as bad a piano player as I am, but she's taken a lot of small steps to become better. Embrace the small things and watch what God does through you. What is a small thing in your life? What is that step? Where is that place that you know God is calling you, and what is that next step? What is that small step that you need to take? I don't know what it is in your life. You may not even know now, but I just pray that the Lord takes a hold of what it is that He has for you, and He places in your mind a vision that draws you closer to Him, a vision that draws you into taking that next step where you are doing great things, and that great things are being done through you by the Lord of the Almighty God, our God. Amen. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of small things. And Lord, help us not to despise those small steps, those tasks that need to be take place in order to achieve something greater for you. And Lord, help us not to lean on our own power and might, but that we lean on you every step that we take, no matter how small. And Lord, we pray that through these actions that you grow us, that our relationship with you grows stronger, and that by that, we are able to connect with people around us in our circles and throughout our community, that your love can shine and that they can point to you, that we can point to you as the author and the power that changes us and touches us and makes those big things happen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you, and we pray that you draw us into that today. In Jesus' name, amen.